Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2, our first episode of 2022.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a new year, Matt.
It is. Yes, that's factual information.
So who are you, by the way? Sorry.
This is, you forgot to introduce yourself.
I am Michael E. Cullen II, by the way. And with me, as always, is...
Sesame Incarta.
Sesame Incarta. A guy I call Matt, though. I call him Matt.
It's a nickname. Yes. Matt's a nickname I've got. Yes. Yeah.
My nickname for you is Matt. Matthew Haas.
It's a bizarre nickname to have, but it's... Yeah,
it's a weird nickname, but you know,
you can call me that. It's fine. Yeah,
yeah. But Sesame, welcome to the new year, man.
Thank you. You as well.
It's gonna be great, isn't it?
I'm gonna go with survival. You know, I could take decent.
Yes.
Doesn't even have to be good. Just consistent. Secure, with a little room for fun, happiness, that's all fine, but just a nice sort of consistent baseline should be fine.
And, you know, just like Adam Duritz said once upon a time, it's been a long December, and there's reason to believe that maybe this year will be better than the last.
Yeah.
No more deeper words have ever been said.
What's that from?
A Long December. Counting
from
Crows.
What? Counting Crows. Okay, yeah. Cool.
Maybe this year will be better than the last. Oh. Good song. That's my favorite Christmas song.
Really?
It's not a Christmas song, but I call it one.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways, today on the show, Matt, Mr. Sesame Incarta, we are covering an unsold pilot that was made in 1997 entitled Veronica's Video.
Yeah.
Yes. It was directed by Don Scardino and written by Jay Tarsis, who we've encountered in a previous episode of our show.
Wait, we have?
Yes. Jay Tarsis was an actor in The Duck Factory.
Oh, wow, that one with Jim Carrey?
Yeah.
Wow.
He wrote this.
Interesting.
Yes.
Who would be in the Duck Factory?
He was the, I don't know, one of the writers in the office. He was like white Italian looking dude, sort of, kind of, you know? Yeah, so, yeah. I don't know.
He was much, much younger, though, probably.
Oh, yeah.
At that time. Okay. I think I might know what you're talking about.
Yes. And, just a little background here on Don Scardino, the director of this episode. He has directed episodes of... Well, actually, he directed a TV movie, which I don't know what it's about, but I'm thinking we're going to cover it next year for some reason. It's called The Bitch Who Stole Christmas. I don't know what it's about, but I like the title. He's also directed two episodes of Only Murders in the Building.
Oh, wow. Very interesting.
Yeah, which is probably one of my favorite new shows of 2021.
That's really messed up, because I just started watching that like 3 days ago.
Yeah.
And I picked this episode completely at random. I had no idea that there was any connection to the two things.
He's also directed episodes of The Conners, the Murphy Brown reboot in 2018, Young Sheldon, Two Broke Girls, Angel from Hell, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, 30 Rock, Rescue Me, My Boys, which I really like that show, Law and Order, Hope and Faith, 5 episodes of Ed, The West Wing, Cosby. Wow.
Jeez.
Sports Night.
Oh my god, this guy's got like a stellar career here.
Yeah, there's a lot of other things. Let me see, I'm just kind of giving highlights here. That's all of his TV credit. Yeah, it looks like he's done a lot of TV stuff. He also directed the incredible Burt Wonderstone movie.
What's that about? I've never heard of
it. It's a movie about a magician. A veteran Vegas magician tries to revive his career after his longtime partner quits. He gets fired from his casino act, and the edgy new street magician steals his thunder. It's starring Steve Carell, Steve Buscemi, and a bunch of other people.
That sounds pretty good. Sad. It sounds sad, but it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Well, check that out sometime. Maybe cover it for the podcast for some reason. Anyways, this show...
Yeah, whatever. Why not? Yeah, but anyway, just, guys, you want to check out the Only Murders in this apartment. What's it called? Only Murders,
In the Building.
In the Building. I'm not even joking when I say I actually think this is both Steve Martin and Martin Short's best role in their entire career.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
and I think, and Selena Gomez is amazing in it, too. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
They make a really good trio in this. They're the new Three Amigos.
Yeah, totally.
You replace the weakest link of your three with a... Currently the weakest link. At the time, he was good. But,
yeah.
So, yeah, people check that show out, definitely. Season 2 is coming out soon, I think.
So they good because my parents have been watching it too a lot, and they were wondering if they're gonna do a season 2. I'm like,
Was already renewed. Yeah, they're currently filming season 2 right now.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so the show stars Corbin Burnson, who people may know from Psych or from L.A. Law or from the Major League movies. Yes. So
interesting.
Yeah. As Nick Gluckin, a guy who decides to go around in a wheelchair even though he's not really handicapped. And
okay.
Yeah. And he owns this this video store called, for some reason, Veronica's Video, which we never find out why.
Yeah, exactly.
Then we have Matt Champagne, which is an awesome name, by the way.
I'm like, I could have come up with that from one of my names. Yeah. Damn it.
Matt Champagne. who plays Gary Gluckin, the son of Nick Gluckin, who, is applying to get a job at the store. And we'll go into that later when we get into the plot. We also have Julie Benz, who people will know from Dexter and from Buffy and Angel and you know, things of that nature.
All the good stuff.
Yeah. She plays Mary Sue Henderson, a woman who works at a chocolate shop nearby. We got Shasir Kurup as Mr. Chandra.
Mm.
yeah. Stereotypical Indian man. Anyways, so who's also trying to work at the video store. We do have an appearance as a with a kid customer played by Chris Owen from the American Pie movies. We also have an appearance in this episode from Greg Grunberg as Jeremy. And he's been in, like, Alias and Lost and Star Wars and anything associated with J.J. Abrams. And as well as Heroes. So yes. He's, like, one of J.J. Abrams' best friends, so that's why he's in. You know him if you see him. Anyway, so Sesame, my good friend, Mr. Sesame Incarta.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Matthew Haas. What happens here in this pilot for Veronica's video?
Okay, I gotta clear my throat for this one. So, this, okay. It opens up, you got some, like, shitty intro music, whatever. By the way, the quality of the video we saw was so terrible, because it was, like, ripped from, like, a VHS or something. Yeah. It was, like, it was just bad. Like, the colors were just, like, it was barely any color at all. It was, like, almost black and white, but, like, it was not intentional. It's just the way it was. So, anyway, so part of what I'm about to say might be influenced by the fact that it was just such a bad copy that I had to watch. But, so this dude walks in, he wants to apply for the job, and then the guy who's in a wheelchair, even though he doesn't need to be in a wheelchair for unexplained reasons. And, he's like, hey, you know, you got an ad for the job. And he's like, yeah. And it says to call the phone number. So then they have, like, this little banter back and forth where the guy takes out his cell phone and he calls the number, and they start having this back and forth, you know, over the phone. Like, oh, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know. It's just, like, stupid banter. And then it turns out that they're actually father and son, and that's, like, how they, I guess, communicate with each other, I guess. I don't know. And then,
yes.
And then he's like, it's like, oh, well, my dad's a real jerk or whatever. And then he's like, that's never been proven. Like, you know, like, oh, I'm not your real dad. You know, all this stupid crap, you know. And then that's, like, the big intro. And then it goes into the whole show. And he actually doesn't even technically hire him. He's just letting him work there for free, I guess. And then we have the Indian dude show up. And then we find out that the guy's having, like, a competition, I guess, between who he's going to hire for this glorious video store called Veronica's Video. Like, that's what I don't understand. It's like, why are both of these guys fighting so hard for this job, which is, like, an absolutely terrible job? Like, it's one thing if, like, you're actually, like, trying to apply to something cool. Like, they're sitting there in the whole episode talking about, like, how terrible this business is and how they're not making any money whatsoever. They're like, I gotta get this job that makes no money. Wait, what?
Yeah, because, like he says, what does the job pay? And he says, just below minimum wage.
Yeah. He's like, that can't be legal. He's like, oh, well, whatever. I'm like, no, oh, like, God, this show is so bad.
I'm sure he could walk down the street to the 7-Eleven and get a better job or something, you know what I mean?
Yeah, or go to the chocolate place, even, because they kept talking about how that place is making so much money, and it's like, well, okay, go. I mean, that seems like, for one thing, better company, and then, you know, cranky father figure who sits in the wheelchair is like a joke for some reason that's unexplained throughout the whole goddamn episode. But, you got the Indian guys, like last night I said, he seems like he's a combination of both Apu and Raj is somehow more racist than both of them combined. And then, yeah. I mean, the stereotype, you know, of what he was made to say and, you know, and act and behave in certain ways that are just like, and I don't know, like, they were just trying to do, like, this weird, like, edgy racial humor, but, like they were trying to straddle the line between, like, being, like, offensive and, like, a Steven Crowder sense, but at the same time, like, they're trying to, like, knock people's senses, you know, politically correct senses off or whatever. Like, they're trying to, like, do this weird, like, I don't even know what their actual agenda, like, intention was with that, but it really fell flat. Because at one point, Gary's like, well, like, why do you even want to hire this guy in the first place? He's like, oh, because he's got, like, a superb knowledge of, like, Bollywood films. And Gary's like, well, like, why would that matter, you know, for, like, this video store, like, Bollywood movies? And then his dad goes on this weird thing about, like, oh, well, times are changing and races are changing. Like, just weird, like what? And then he's talking about how his wife left him and that she, like, oh, who's going to save the Gentile race? I'm like, what the fuck is this guy talking about? Like, you know, like, is he a Nazi? Is he not a Nazi? Like, what is going on here? Like,
yeah. It's very disturbing how offensive the show is.
I know. Totally. It's like, because I don't even know what they're even trying to get at with half the shit they're saying. Like, I'm like, are they, like, is this, are they trying to be edgy, or is this, like, just what they thought was funny?
I mean, even for 1997, which is, you know, like, 25 years ago, it's still very offensive, you know? It's like, I mean, at the time, even, I don't think there was anything really, I mean, obviously you have Apu on The Simpsons and stuff that was around at that time that was pretty offensive, but not even he was that offensive.
No, like I'm saying, yeah, like there was something going on with, like, the whoever wrote this was trying to be, like, super edgy, I think, or something. Even for that time, because I remember watching stuff at that time. Who, even when I look back at it, I'm like, yeah, they wouldn't really let that go that extreme, or, you know, type of thing like that. Because, like, you know, when you start talking about, like, saving the Gentile race, and then you start talking about how, like, the racial dynamics are changing, it's just like, that's a weird, I don't know, just something about it's weird, it doesn't feel right. Like, you know,
it's like, it's not even trying to be subversive in a way that, like, is, you know, about, like, you know, trying to point out how racist people are through comedy or anything, you know what I mean? It's not,
it did,
if that's, yeah, it didn't come off, it doesn't, like, really that come off that way.
I mean, maybe that's what they're trying to do, but that's not how it came off.
I mean, I know they're putting, I mean, they are following the, what I like to call, like, the Kevin Smith style of comedy, where you put the stupid things in the stupid man's mouth, you know? But,
yeah,
you know,
cause, like, yeah, there was a lot of banter going on, yeah, but it wasn't good banter like, no, Clerks was. Yeah,
but I mean, what I mean is, like in Clerks, you know, people are like, oh, he's being homophobic, and it's like, if you notice, the person saying the homophobic shit is Jay, who's the fucking, right, idiot. You know what I mean? You put the stupid comments in the stupid person's mouth, and that points out how stupid those comments are, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And then in Clerk 2, you got him, like, literally tucking in his penis.
Yeah.
Like, and he's, like, obviously, like, exploring himself in, yeah, ways that, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, he's,
you know? Yeah. It's, it's interesting. But anyways, this show does remind me in a lot of ways of the Clerks pilot we covered.
Oh God, yeah.
How it's, you know, wanting to be what it's, you know, it, I mean, if you think about it, this came out, like, just a few years after Clerks. And it's about a video store, which Clerks,
right,
had an element of, you know, and it's about, mm-hmm, being a clerk in a store. And that was probably kind of what they were going for, but then they decided, oh, we'll add an Indian character and make him the biggest stereotype in the history of the world.
I know, like, for no reason.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because it's basically like, they're like, oh, let's get rid of Randall and we'll make him, or Dante or something, and make him a Indian guy. And then we'll put in a boss who's like a fucking racist asshole who is also you know, ops, you know, like basically, you know, co-opting the whole handicap world. And,
which that's also super offensive. Yes. Like, oh, he's lazy. Like, oh, like, yeah, like people in wheelchairs are lazy, right? Like, no, it's because they're fucking disabled. Like,
yeah. You know, it's like, I don't know. It's so weird. So anyways, we have the basic plot here. We go on where he, you know, he's basically hires Mr. Chandra instead of his son. And before that happened, though, there was like an incident where the they're talking about the candy, the chocolate or whatever, and how there's a chocolate store nearby, and yeah, so it was the greatest line of dialogue said here when they were talking about it, Mr. Chandra, because they were talking about how great this chocolate thing is, and says something to Mr. Chandra about liking chocolate, and he says, all races and creeds go yum yum for chocolate. I'm going to say that again. All races and creeds go yum yum for chocolate. My favorite line of dialogue ever, Matt. Any thoughts on that great line, Matt?
Yeah. It makes me want to, like, pull my hair out. God, it's, like, one of the most cringy lines of dialogue I've ever heard in any show I've ever watched. God, this episode made me feel so uncomfortable and like in so many ways. Oh, too, it reminds me too. So then there's this whole thing going on where, of course, Mr. Chandra doesn't really understand like all the like idioms of English or whatever, like takes things really literally. So, like, there's this guy wants to go into the adult section and he's like, he thinks that you have to be exactly 21 years old to go in there. So if you're older than 21, you can't go in either. So like, he's like, I don't know, I'm 67. It's like, yeah, it says 21 years old, get out. So then this guy's like, well, I just turned 21 last week. And he's like, oh, go in there, you happy pervert, or something, I don't know, something yeah. like that.
And the guy's obviously a teenager.
Did not look like he was 21. Like,
it was Chris Owen from the American Pie movies who played the Shermanator. So,
I thought it might have looked like him. I could hardly tell because of how bad the film was. But like, you get it though. The Indian guy doesn't understand, like, you know, for real. Like, he, you know, doesn't get it or whatever. So then, like, this really attractive woman from the chocolate shop, which you don't really understand at first because they start playing like dreamy music or, you know, whatever type of thing, so you're not really sure if this is like fantasy, you know, or whatever. And she was told to deliver like a cupcake to Gary's dad because he, you know, he's the one that owns the video store. And like, Gary's like resorted to like not being able to like talk because she's so hot or whatever. It's like, really? Like, are we gonna do that? Like, come on! Like,
it's like that. What was that other show that we watched with Patton Oswalt and Brian Posehn? It reminds me a lot of that show too.
Yeah, like I've had moments where I've like had to talk to someone who is like just like extremely beautiful, like to the point of like almost like how is this even possible that like someone could look this good? But like, I never got to the point where I'm like, like he's doing or whatever, like, you know, it's like, shut up, like,
yeah.
Like, and then she's like, you know, like almost like sickly sweet nice, you know, about everything. And like, then she's like, oh, well, maybe you'll get a cookie later, you know, and all these innuendo stuff. And then like, she goes, and leaves, you know, back for the chocolate store.
Yeah, she brought some kind of chocolate egg to give to the dad.
It was. And there's lots of symbolism with eggs, so maybe they're going for something here. It's this brilliant show, you know. And
they thought that deeply.
What's that?
I said they thought that deeply when they were writing this.
Yeah, I'm sure they did. Yeah. Then the Sherbinator comes out and he's like, "Oh, I recognize her. She was in this movie, you know, the porn movie."
Yeah.
And like, "Oh, really? Oh, that can't be her." It's like, "It's totally her, dude." So we got that whole thing going on. So anyway, so the dad fires Gary and, in favor of Mr. Chandra. And by the way, the reason why they call him Mr. Chandra is because they can't pronounce his name. Get it? Indian name too hard to pronounce?
Yeah, they can't pronounce his first name. It's too hard to pronounce. True.
So from now on, he's Mr. Chandra, which, you know, sounds like a sign of respect when you think without context, but with the context, it's actually disrespectful because they can't seriously, think about it. How long would it take you to memorize someone's name, even if it's a foreign name? 5 minutes? Just repeating it over and over? You can't take 5 minutes out of your life to pronounce someone's name correctly. Really?
I will go with this. So for years I worked with this woman whose name was Corrine.
Mm-hmm.
Not Corinne, but Corrine. That's how you pronounce it. And for years, everybody called her Corrine. Corinne instead of Corrine.
Mm-hmm.
Except for me, because I actually took the time to learn how to say her name.
Mm-hmm.
She never cared, because she was a nice person. But everybody else at work called her Corinne and not Corrine.
Wow. Well, she might have cared. It's just that, you know.
Yeah. But she never
fight against the whole store because they're not gonna change and be nice people.
Yeah, it's like they all loved her and they thought she was great, but they never really learned how to pronounce her name. Yeah. And it was mainly perpetuated by a manager who just didn't bother to learn how to pronounce half the people's names, anyways. I mean, yeah, we had people who was like, you know, who had longer names that she would shorten just because she couldn't remember the full name.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's how it was. Anyways.
Yeah, but we had a friend, I'm not going to say who, because I'm not going to, you know, bring them into it or whatever, you know, like, without their permission or whatever. But, like, they're one of their teachers never could pronounce her name, so they just called him Ocean. Like, sounds nothing like their actual name whatsoever. It's like, who named Ocean? Like, maybe, like, at some California hippie school, like, where they don't do grades and they all drink, like, juice or whatever. Maybe, but, like, you know, like, you know, something like that, you know.
Oh, jeez. Do you want to take a break really quick, Matt, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about the rest of this episode?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guest every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
Mm-hmm.
And we are back. Okay, so what else happens in this episode here, Matt? We've got the so the hot girl comes in, and then he basically what we ends up happening is that they hire Mr. Chandra instead of the kid. So
yeah, so Gary.
Yeah,
and he can't talk because the hot girl from the chocolate store.
Yeah,
who now the Shermanator thinks is part of the pornography video that he just watched. Whatever, and then you know, to keep on with the whole weird racial stuff going on, Gary essentially stages a White Lives Matter rally outside the video store because his dad hired Mr. Chandra instead of him, which would have been kind of nepotism because he's his son. So if anything, he actually did a good thing by not hiring his son and instead allowed someone else to have a chance at a job. But anyway, okay. But yeah, but you know, like typical nepotism people who, you know, want to ride the coattails of their parents or whoever else in their family, they of course see that as injustice. Like, well, I'm entitled, you know, I'm going to take over this video store when I get old and put myself in a wheelchair, even though I don't actually need to sit in one. You know, but now he gave it to some Indian guy, some non-white. Well, I'm not going to take that line down. So then he goes off and does a White Lives Matter rally. He says, reverse racism, reverse discrimination. He hired a brown guy instead of me. Therefore, it's an injustice, persecution. Yes, this was in all of the fucking TV pilot for like a comedy show. Like,
yes.
And he's literally going out there marching by himself, I should add, in like 102 degree heat. And then like out of nowhere, like two friends from high school just happened to show up wearing suits. Didn't really explain where they came from necessarily. They just happened to be standing there, I guess. And then they start like razzing him about like not. See, that's the other thing. I was really confused because at first I thought they were like making fun of him, but then they would like switch off to like, hey, you want to go have drinks at my place, and then like they go to mocking him again. It was like I don't really understand the relationship here.
Like, you know, like, me either. And one of those guys was Greg Grunberg. So yeah.
I couldn't quite like really understand like the dynamic that was happening between the three. So I'm gonna go on frenemies maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll never know, but
maybe they would have became recurring characters if the show would have got picked up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. And then the hot chocolate lady, well, not hot the hot chocolate store lady. That, wow. That's hot chocolate lady. Well, he was doing a White Lives Matter rally. So, you know, you got to add the racial humor to the already hot simmering fire of the racial humor. But they already got there. No, the hot chocolate store lady.
Yeah.
comes back, and again, I'm starting to wonder if this woman even exists, really, because each time she comes, there's, like, this dreamy music, and it's always when Gary's already kind of, like, in a daze, so it's like, I'm wondering if this was, like, heat stroke going on.
And yeah, then but I mean, like, she did exist the first time, because the, you know, Chris Owens' character did see her, too, and talked about her being in the...
Well, maybe he imagined him, too. She came by to like say that she's proud of him for like standing up what he believes in. What he believes in is white supremacy. So I guess, okay, you're proud that whatever. Well, she did say she came from Indiana, and you know, and we all know Indiana's kind of like a red state. So it's possible that she may have had some kind of, you know, run-ins with like Nazis and the Klansmen, you know, that kind of thing. Jesus. So maybe that's why she's proud of him. It's like, yes, go, don't take it. Stick it to the Indian guy or whatever, you know. I hate those people, you know. We don't know, but, you know, it's possible. And so, you know, perhaps Mr. Chandra's wrong. Not all races and creeds go yum yum for chocolate. So, you know. sorry.
all Mind races you, this, and creeds go yum yum for chocolate.
I can guarantee you this podcast that we're recording right now is funnier than the actual show. So
yes. So I think I do want to make a t-shirt that says all races and creeds go yum yum for chocolate, though.
You should do that. But please don't put a picture with a guy in a turban on it.
No, I'm not going to put anything on it, just the words.
Okay, good.
Oh, my gosh. Anyways, I'll just
put Mr. Chandra's face on there.
Chocolate bar on there or something. And if you guys want us to make that shirt, let us know. Mike at
ComicPark.com. That is a really good shirt idea. Yeah.
I might make that, and then people will be like, what the fuck is this?
You already got a few good ones. You got the Mateo Kills the Crow. You've got...
I haven't made that one yet, but I...
That's what you did. Okay.
I was going to, and I never got to it.
Oh, okay.
But I do I do have the Please Stop Massaging Me.
Yeah, that's right. That dude, the guy, yeah, from the what do they call it, the farm, the
like the whole scam farm sort of thing. Yeah, the trying to
or I'm a podcast promoter or whatever.
Yeah,
Which again, to be not be weird, but like it does seem like a lot of them are from came from Pakistan, kind of.
Yeah,
and then we're talking about a show where they have an Indian guy. Yeah, you know, so it's like a huge stereotype. God.
Anywho,
I'm not making a comment. I'm just saying it seemed like a lot of the people contacting you did seem to mainly come from that.
Well, that's what, unfortunately, that's the only kind of jobs those people can get there, unfortunately, you know. You know, some people can, you know, and it's just, it sucks because they get taken advantage of and end up scamming people. And half the time, I don't even know if they realize they're scamming people. You know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. The guy might actually be like an actual podcast promoter, but like can only get like shitty gigs. Like, you know, like I'm not saying our show shitty, but like, you know what I mean? Like,
but I mean, on top of that though, that whole thing, you know, if you want to go back and listen to that, there was in one of previous episodes, I don't remember which one, that we talk about this, but you know, the guy was completely a scammer, but he,
yeah, that guy in particular was.
But the conversation was interesting where we went back and forth to the point where we pissed him off to the point where he didn't want us to talk to him anymore.
we kept like asking him about how much are you willing to sell?
He says I can do this for you, and he showed me a picture of like the podcast that he supposedly helped, and one of them was a Susie Orman podcast, and I was like, so did you actually help Susie Orman? I'm just trying to figure this out, and he would not answer.
And plus two, he's like, I share your podcast with like my friends list, and he had like five friends on his Facebook profile. And it's like, dude, like I have like 140, like that's pretty low for a lot of people, like.
Yeah, he's like I've got I can share it, you know, with all my friends, and he had like less than 100 friends, and I have almost 5,000. So I'm just like, really?
And like half of them didn't even have profile pictures; they were just blank. Like, it's like, yeah, okay. Like, are those other podcast buddies, or those just other accounts that you have?
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he said, "Please stop." Yeah.
Back to this wonderful television show.
Yeah, sorry, we got us kind of sidetracked here. But
we do that. That's why you listen to us, folks. You love our sidetracks. If you'd like more of that, we could actually do a whole show about sidetracking if you just pay us on Patreon.
Oh, wow. Like, we just won't talk about the actual thing, except for, like, very little.
We'll just randomly and, like, talk. It's just record you and I having a conversation.
That actually would be... We should do something like that. You know, like, how some people do, like, a marathon thing?
Yeah.
Like, they'll like live stream for like 12 hours straight.
Yeah.
We should probably just try to see how long we can carry conversations.
If you want that, folks, that's Mike at CullenPark.com. Let me know, and I can hook you up with our Patreon. You can check that out at alltoreal2.com. Anyway, so...
we'll be the next Joe Rogan's, man. We'll just rant for like 12 hours about ivermectin and that silver shit now that Candace Owens... What's that called again? Something silver?
I don't even remember.
It's like the beginning words, like starts with an O, I think. Like, whatever. Anyway, it's basically shit that's turned your skin blue, or it could permanently. And
if you want to look like a Smurf, go ahead and buy that stuff, you know?
Go ahead.
So I'll just show you some pictures of the Avatar movies or something. I don't know. So we got this situation where the hot chick, played by Julie Benz, comes.
Yes, the hot chick.
Comes
the hot chocolate search. Not the hot chocolate girl. God damn it. That was like a miss. That was not me.
So the hot chocolate chick. And
no, the hot chocolate store.
Oh, okay. So she's talking to him and proud of him and stuff like that. And then he kind of asks her out. And And then she says that she might be a lesbian.
Yeah, I didn't get that part at all. That was weird.
I was just like, are they trying to be edgy here too? I didn't understand.
Because she's like, I'm not sure. I'll get back to you next week. Like, they're just trying to make her like a ditzy blonde type character, I think, is what they were going
for. Yeah, I don't know what they were going for, but it's just like, okay.
I think that's what it was, because she was like kind of dumb and sweet and girly and like almost just like sickly sweet, you know? And she's literally dressed like Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Kind of. So.
I don't know. Anyway, so. Yeah. The dad ends up realizing what, you know, that he's proud of his son for standing up for himself. And then hires both him and Mr. Chandra.
Yeah, he's like, all right, time to wrap up the White Lives Matter, you know, rally, because you're scaring away customers, you know, so.
All two of them. And,
I'll hire you as well, as long as you wrap up the White Lives Matter protest or whatever you got going on, and we'll all be one big happy family. Can you please explain to me, though, why was he the dad in the wheelchair? Because he actually went so far as has a handicap, like, actual sticker on his desk. What was the point of this? Like,
my whole theory on it is that the guy is just lazy.
But it's not. That's the thing, though. It's like, it seems like it'd be more effort to move around in the wheelchair than to, like, just get up and walk. Like, so if anything, he's going out of his way to, quote, be lazy, but is actually doing more work in the process. What's the point?
It's a metaphor for life, Matt.
I guess.
Sometimes in life we take what we think is the easy way out, but it ends up being the harder way in the long run.
Yeah, it's a really deep point in the show, especially with the eggs. Eggs are always pop up. They're always symbolic, you know. But like, in like chocolate-covered eggs, because you got the candy element to it.
Eggs are symbolic of rebirth and springtime.
Yeah,
and
springtime.
Yes.
And then you got, springtime for Hitler.
That's what I was thinking. You know, maybe there's some kind of connection there.
Yeah, because we know they're Nazis, and so, you know, and you know, Papa's got to save the Gentile race, and he did it, and that's why his wife left him, apparently, I guess. So, I guess she went off to join the skinheads, maybe, or something, I don't know. And then, Papa was just casually racist, you know, he wasn't wasn't going to commit his life to racism. He's like, I don't like him, but, you know, what are you going to do, kind of thing, you know? So, like, but he does like Mr. Chandra, he makes an exception. He's okay, he's one of the good ones, you know? And, you know, but don't cross me. Don't ever disagree with me, because then you won't be one of the good ones and I'll hate you. That's how that works. So,
yep.
A lot of deep stuff in this episode.
So, anyways, they both end up working there, and that's kind of how it ends.
Yeah. And, shockingly, this was not picked up for a second episode or even aired, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So
do you want me to look at some reviews of this episode, Matt?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here's a couple from the Internet Movie Database. There's only two.
Wow.
Okay, so we have a 1 out of 10 from Martin Haffer, who I think we've read previous reviews from. This was written on June 7th of 2020. terrible and offensive to many.
Yeah.
I like searching YouTube for unusual films and forgotten television shows. Among my favorite searches are failed television pilots. And you can see dozens of different TV shows that, for one reason or another, are not accepted by the networks. With some, it's strange because the shows were very good. Look Well was genius, but the networks refused to greenlight it. But most, well, you can easily see why they were never made into a series. Veronica's Video clearly is one of those obvious ones. The story makes no sense. A young man who wants to be a filmmaker arrives at Veronica's Video, one of the worst video rental stores in the world. The owner is abusive and uses a wheelchair sometimes. I am sure disabled folks might be a bit miffed when they see that he probably is using it because he's lazy. What is more obviously offensive is Mr. Chandra, a ridiculous stereotype by writers who know little about Indian immigrants. While he is dressed like a Sikh, the man is more like Apu from The Simpsons, and the name Chandra is not a name a Sikh would use. They adopt the surname Singh. Sloppy, but also an unfunny and offensive character. When the young man is given a job, it is on the condition that it's probational, and the owner will keep either the young filmmaker or Chandra. This begs you to question why either guy would try this hard to get a job at a horrible store run by a horrible man. And for less than minimum wage, which is illegal.
Exactly. Exactly what I was saying. Why are they fighting so hard for this job?
It just doesn't make sense. And given that the show isn't funny, well, it's pretty obvious why the series was never made. I'm just amazed they even made the pilot. Okay. So that's that.
Totally agree with everything. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Here's one from Triple X Man. Written in December 8th of 2006. I was in the audience, he says. I was a member of the live studio audience when the sitcom pilot was shot. Between takes, there was a comedian who got up and bantered with the crowd. He was approximately 10 times funnier than the show. The details have gotten cloudy in my brain, but I can't guarantee total accuracy, but I remember that Corbin Burnson played an abrasive video store owner confined to a wheelchair for some reason I don't believe we were ever explained, who's a strange son shows up to work for him. Other characters included an obnoxious East Indian employee at the store who became the sworn enemy of Burnson's son. In other words, he was set up as the character who will trade dumb insults with him for the duration of the show. And there was a cute young female love interest who, in the only remotely funny bit, unexpectedly reveals that she's a lesbian. I didn't find that funny either. But anyways, I remember that.
Like,
yeah. He says, I remember that only one scene required a second take. Do they always shoot sitcoms this fast? And basically, it just wasn't funny. The jokes were nothing special, and there was little to distinguish it from the hundreds of other mediocre sitcoms. As most of the action took place in a tiny one-room video store, it was hard to see how this show could have lasted long without falling into monotony. So I wasn't surprised at all that Veronica's Video never got aired. One final memory. At one point during the taping, the audience was admonished for not laughing enough, which should tell you something.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Come on, guys. You have to really... No, sorry.
Yeah.
No. If it's not funny, it's not funny.
Exactly.
It definitely is not funny. It reminded me, too, about Mr. Chandra really quick. So, like, there's a part at the end where, like, he would just start, like, agreeing with whatever, what's the guy, dad's name? I forgot his name.
I don't remember the character's name, but it's Corbin Burnson.
Whatever, the terrible guy, you know, the owner.
Yeah.
Like, every time he would say something, he would change his mind and agree with whatever he said, like, basically becoming, like, a yes man. I'm like, oh, God, this is, like, really awkward.
Yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think anybody should ever watch this?
No, this is just terrible. I mean, even if you found like a better quality, because like for me, the bad quality of the film was just like the icing on top of like the terrible chocolate cake, you know, that they have next door. It was like even if they had like a 4K version of the show, I still would have thought it was terrible.
Yeah,
but just watching it like that, it was just like extra bad. Like just like it felt so awkward. Like I'm sitting there watching this, I'm like, you know, I really should be like watching Cobra Kai or something I actually like enjoy. And here I am on my phone with my headphones on, just
watching this
staring at the screen.
So, question: how could they have made the show better, Matt?
For one thing, by not having it at all, that would be a start. But like, another star is scrapped the racist Indian caricature. You still have an Indian character. Just don't have it being like, I'm gonna come back with chicken. You're like, oh, you get it? Indians eat chicken for some weird reason, even though some Indians are actually vegetarian because of the whatever. We don't care about that. And I mean, that's the one stereotype they weren't going for. Like, oh, he's eating chicken. He's not a vegetarian.
Oh wow.
We're gonna say he's Hindu, but we're gonna have him wear a thing like a Sikh, but we're gonna use the wrong name. And it's like, what were they going for? Is what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what were they going for? I don't know.
I don't either.
So, grab that character. Get, you know, you could have an Indian character. Just don't make it like that. You know, stop the abrasiveness of the dad character. Way overkill.
Well, my thing with it is keep the abrasiveness. Explain why he's abrasive. Explain why he's using a wheelchair. give you some reason for his character to exist the way it is. I'm fine with there being a, you know, asshole character, because you kind of need that in certain ways. But my main thing with it is keep that, but just explain why. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah. It was a little over the top, though.
Yeah, just like the band, it was like, it felt like it was a whole sling of one-liners. Like, that's
all it was.
One-liners are fine, but like, you can't have that be the entire dialogue. Like, him going off in these rants about how his wife, like, broke his kneecaps for some reason, and then talking about how he was going to save the Gentile race, and like, what the hell? Like,
see, my whole thing is maybe change it to make a reason why the kid has to work at the video store. Maybe he got kicked out of film school, needs the money, applied a bunch of different places, couldn't get hired anywhere else. Because there is no reason whatsoever that the kid should have to work for his dad.
Yeah, no.
It's go down the street to the Blockbuster if you want to work in a video store. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, exactly. Not some like mom and pop, like barely hanging on by a thread video store. You know, like, because I remember when I was a kid, you know, there were stores like that. Like, you know, like it wasn't.
Yeah.
Blockbuster and like other stores didn't really take up like the whole market at that point. But like, yeah, by 1997. Pretty much.
It was Blockbuster.
I mean, yeah. I remember it was actually my neighbor just who lived two houses down when I was a kid. He actually owned the video store that was right in the same complex of a gas station. It was called Video Hits. You know, just a very generic title, yeah, name. And we used to rent our games and movies from there. It's just small, pretty much like the same size as that store. It's kind of small,
yeah,
area. And then eventually, you know, he sold it to, you know, start other businesses because he couldn't compete with, like, because for us it was Blockbuster in our area wasn't really huge, but what we had was called Video Connection, was a big store.
Yeah, there was Video Connection and Family Video and Hollywood Video and all these ones that kind of took over everything.
Yeah, see, Video Connection eventually became Hollywood Video. Then it went back to Video Connection, which is weird. And then,
well, it became Movie Gallery.
Is that what it was? Yeah. Oh, okay.
And then Movie Gallery got bought out by Hollywood Video.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Or something of that nature. It might have been the other way around. It might have been that Movie Gallery bought Hollywood and then just kept the Hollywood name.
Yeah. Those were so cool, though, man. I miss video rental stores or game rental stores or whatever.
Yeah, there's like none really around anymore.
No, not really. I thought it was so cool to just go inside and just look around. You know, streaming's fine and everything, but you know, there was something to like just going there physically and just like
looking at the box and reading the cover and you know, yeah. The and I worked at a Blockbuster Video for years, so I kind of have you know. See, what one thing I would love to do for our podcast, and if we ever get enough money to do it, it would be great, is to go to the last Blockbuster that's out west.
Oh, Alaska, I think?
No, there's one in Alaska. The one's in Alaska closed. There's one I think it's out in Oregon. But I would love to go there, do a video component and a podcast component about the store and interview the people and stuff like that. It would be fun. If you guys would love us to do that, please donate to our Patreon.
Yeah, for the gas and like renting a car that's good. And,
you know, and all that.
Like my car is like 20 years old. It's not going to make it to Oregon.
No, I mean, we probably want to fly out there and then rent a car. So
I don't know. Road trip might be funner, though. More fun, though. I don't know.
Yeah. If you'd ever love us to do, like, I think it would be awesome to do a podcast. Like, if we could just afford it, like, do a podcast, a road trip podcast where we go around and interview people about movies.
Yeah, that would be cool. And then we, like, we end up, like, accidentally, like, running into, like, an alt-right rally, and then we end up talking to a bunch of Nazis, and then we bring up this show, and they're like, oh, yeah, I like that character. He's cool.
Yeah, this is their favorite show, I think. I'm pretty sure that this is the show that started QAnon. And, But anyways, any other thoughts here on this, Matt, before we wrap things up here?
No, I'm spent.
Yeah, me too. I will say, folks, Happy New Year. Be sure to give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You can also now review people on Spotify. Review our show on Spotify, please, folks. You know, it'll help people find our show. And on anywhere else that you can review it. But I just found out you can review shows on Spotify now. So do that.
That sounds cool.
If you have any thoughts or anything about this episode or any of our episodes or something you'd love us to cover, give me a message at mike@cullenpark.com. That's CullenPark.com. Anyway, so also check out all2real2.com for links to everything else. Check out our TeePublic, and maybe we'll have some new shirts based on this episode that say, you know, all races and creeds go yum yum for chocolate.
Oh god!
Which is very true. They all do, except for my father, who's allergic to chocolate. But anyways, the But anyways, folks. Until next time, wear a mask, get vaxxed, go yum yum for chocolate, and wear a condom. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.